Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
With Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, and we're off to the Solomon Islands, thanks to Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Democracy right now is the story in the Solomon Islands. These are very famous ports of call, one of them Guadalcanal, but right now we're focusing on the capital and a man named Sogavare, who is the prime minister, four times the prime minister of the Solomon Islands. And yet, Cleo, a very good evening to you. What's at issue in this vote underway in the Solomon Islands? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So this is the first election since 2019. And when Sogavare became prime minister after the 2019 election, he switched his country's diplomatic recognition from Taiwan to China. And since then, the Chinese have been spending enormous amounts of money and effort and their very good intelligence networks, their criminal organizations, to ensure that that change is permanent. They've got people on the ground. There's a lot of money flowing. And they even backed the bribing, I would say, of 39 out of 50 members of parliament. The accounts are all out in the open, in order to delay the elections by a year so that they would have even longer to embed within the system. So at least two of the other candidates have said that they would want to reconsider that relationship with China. They've seen it to be very socially destructive. They're worried about all the Huawei towers going in. They're worried about the Chinese rebuilding the ports. So the stakes are quite high, but China and its proxies have had close to 5 years now to make sure that this election goes the way they want it to.
And the vote is underway now, correct? I mean, it's that dramatic. It's tomorrow in the Pacific soon enough.
That's correct. It'll take quite a while for the votes to come in. People vote in their constituencies, and it's quite rural. Then those boxes are physically transported from those rural areas to the capital, where they'll be voted. And they're actually conducting two elections at the same time. National level election, which will eventually result in choosing a prime minister, and the provincial level elections. So there's likely to be a bit of a delay, and there's concern that that delay may be artificially inflated. There could be, hopefully not, but there could be shenanigans. And also that if things don't go the way voters expect them to, there could be unrest, which is something, again, that the Chinese and their proxies have been preparing for and may even be hoping for, because it would allow them to trigger the China-Solomon Islands security deal, which allows for the deployment of PLA forces to protect Chinese citizens and major projects, as well as to quell unrest.
Gordon, you have a question for Cleo.
So, Cleo, reading between the lines, is it that despite all these Chinese efforts, despite all the flow of Chinese money, that Sogavare is not as popular as you would otherwise think?
He's not. He's personally not all that popular. But remember, this is a federal, this is like a parliamentary system. So he may win or lose his seat. But even if he wins his seat, he may not become prime minister. And of course, the Chinese have been backing other horses in this race in case Sogavare doesn't come through for them. But what the voters actually care about are things like healthcare and education and roads that don't break their car axles if they're lucky enough to have a car. I mean, the country is in pretty rough shape, and that's down in part to Western partners failing them for so long. You go to the local hospital and you'll find a lot of doctors trained in Cuba and none of them who got their degree out of Australia, which claims to be the primary Western development partner for Solomons.
A puzzle about Australia. The government there has been very blunt about opposing Chinese aggression, hence AUKUS and other remarks. That's been going on for some time. Albanese is not shy. And at the same time, Australia is completely informed that this becomes an anchor in the region. Papua New Guinea now comes into reach for Beijing. So is there a coherent policy? We can talk about it, Canberra. It looks as if the U.S. has deputized Australia, but I don't see the results.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, you know, if the Chinese, you know, would be put on a back foot by anything, it would be by the Australians looking into the bribery money that goes through the Solomon Islands system and then ends up in Australian bank accounts and real estate. Same thing for New Zealand. They could have severely raised the cost of selling out the country to individuals in Solomon Islands. Same thing for Papua New Guinea, Vanuatu, and elsewhere. If they allowed prosecutions to be done, or at least investigations to be done, of the that corruption that passes through their own systems. They have that information. I know at least some of it has been shared with them, and they have it anyway. And the fact that they don't prosecute corrupt Pacific Island leaders when they have the chance means that they're effectively protecting them on behalf, I mean, functionally, of the Chinese. So that perplexes me no end. And it doesn't leave a lot of breathing room for the honest leaders in the region.
Gordon, you have a question.
I guess the obvious question is, why is Australia protecting China-influenced leaders in the Solomons?
So I don't know if it's bad policy or if it's something else. You know, it's also not a very good look when Albanese goes straight from meetings in China to the Pacific Island Forum meeting where he then says, you know, you've got to be careful about China, but he's just been to China to try to so-called normalize economic relations. There isn't a lot of credibility there. And they're in the process of trying to push through this agreement with the country of Tuvalu, which would give the Australians strategic control over Tuvaluan waters. But Tuvalu is one of the last countries that recognizes Taiwan. And if precedent is anything to go by, I wouldn't expect the Australians to be standing up on behalf of Tuvalu to protect those Taiwanese relationships if the Chinese representatives in Canberra start saying this could affect our relationship with you, Australia, in the economic sphere.
In your column at the Sunday Guardian, a Solomon Islander comments that what they care about is not China's aggression. What they care about is health care, education, and infrastructure. Very sensible. That's what people vote on. And the question is, will China deliver? Clearly hasn't so far. Hence the original story about a man who defied China having to go to Taipei for cancer treatments. So is there reason to believe that China will actually pay up and have a genuine healthcare system, or are we looking at promises and then enforcement, the boot on the neck?
It's been very interesting to see how Chinese policy has evolved in Solomons, because it's a kind of a case study of how adaptive it can be. And in fact, there are Chinese medical professionals operating in the hospital in Honiara. They've brought in the Peace Arc. Of course, U.S. has also brought in the Mercy. But more to the point, they're talking now about building a major new wing of the hospital. Of course, that would be after the elections, and that would be only if they stay, as a preferred partner. So they're starting to adapt to the point where they're using this kind of healthcare diplomacy as part of their political warfare operations. Of course, once they have enough of a control over the system and they don't have to care about what the population in the Solomons does, because there won't be an effective democracy, they will do just as they do in China and largely ignore the wishes and desires of the people of the Solomon Islands and treat them as vassals.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Cleo, you're implying that the Solomons could lose its democracy. How do you think that could happen?
So we saw one of the ways that we already saw it happen was by the paying off of 39 out of the 50 members of parliament in order to delay elections by a year, in order to give the Chinese and their proxies extra time in order to get into the judiciary system, put in place their people in the Electoral Commission, start major training of the police by Chinese police. But of course, we know there's really no such thing as Chinese police. They're internal security forces, and they're being trained in how to put down riots. So, you know, if they can't get their way in the short term through the ballot box, through buying of votes, then eventually I would expect that they would even be willing to help to trigger civil unrest in order to justify a crackdown. And the last time there was unrest, the Australians ended up sending troops in order to protect Sogavare's position. And currently there are Australian and New Zealand troops on the ground. And if people feel like their democracy is being stolen and demonstrate again, the question is, will you be in a position where the Australians will be putting down democracy protesters again, perhaps inadvertently acting to advance these Chinese goals of delegitimizing democracy and putting in place this authoritarian system?
Quickly, Cleo, the U.S. has an embassy in Honoria, the capital. Is it commenting on the risk to democracy?
It's keeping a very low profile, and it's a new embassy, and it's one of the unfortunate things is that it doesn't have any consular services, which again is one of the main things that Solomon Islanders care about. They would like to be able to come to the United States, study in the United States, increase those people-to-people relations, but with no consular services, they would have to fly to Papua New Guinea or Fiji and wait and apply there, which is just beyond the reach of many Solomon Islanders. So it may say one thing, but what it's actually doing on the ground isn't achieving the goals that those embassies have been set up for.
We're speaking to Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. We're speaking of a vote underway in the Solomon Islands, but there's more to catch up on because the Chinese aggression is across Oceania. So we're headed to the Compact of Free Associated States, and the success in Congress recently now has to be supplemented by details on the ground, because as we've learned with the Solomons, China keeps coming. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Patchell.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.